Blog Talk Radio.
Flash it. New thing. This is the song. Got two lyrics. Very simple and plain. We can all sing together. No ads to feel left out. Join in. This is a song that people need to be singing right about now. When they're telling you that you can't, you shouldn't, you won't.
Junior, and we're going to do it like this. I know, y'all. I know y'all saying, yo, Bev, where have you been, yo? I missed you and all that stuff. I told y'all, man, I'm trying not to be flaky on y'all. I'm trying to give you what you need. But I'm dealing with this PTSD thing, man. And so tonight, I'm trying to do a special edition, I guess you can call it. I don't know. But I might have to just switch it once a week, y'all, until I get better. So what I'll probably do is end up doing it on a Friday. You know what I'm saying? Just do it on a Friday, and then we get it cracking. So please bear with me. No, I haven't left, y'all. Please send me emails. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the love and all that stuff. But you still send me emails. Send me, you know, some loves and some shout-outs, y'all. So, today's topic is no topic. Basically, listen, I'm going to say what I got to say, get it off my chest, and drop the mic on y'all. So in the last recent couple of weeks, you know, there have been a lot of issues going on around, and I may talk about people's perspective, you see. The perspective of what other people may see outside looking in. And there's no specific reason why I'm talking about this, but I have to keep this in my back of my head a lot for those who don't really get it. Remember, the rule is if you point the finger at somebody, there's always three fingers pointing back at you, okay? Now, we love that golden rule. You like people to treat you like you want to be treated. Everybody falls in the trap of talking about people. I mean, you got to check yourself. But when does it come to be a point where people find it in their nature, in their character, to permanently let that be them and who they are? Let's look at a person who's got some issues. If you got issues, you got issues. Now, I say you should not be ashamed of your issues. If you are a man and you are homosexual and you have a homosexual lifestyle within your marriage, be proud of who you are. If your wife is okay with that, that's between you and your wife. If you are a cheater and your wife knows you cheat, but nobody else knows you cheat, I'm not saying brag about it. I'm not saying come forth and be married. All I'm saying is you are who you are. We all have a degree of a shame of who we are, depending on the situation. And I said it like this. You ever had one of those family members where you were just like, you love them to death, but you can't take them out in public, and you like, oh, Lord, I can't take this person nowhere? That's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about, y'all. You can't say you love your kinfolk and then, on the other hand, say, you know what, I can't take them nowhere. Now, you can say that if you're joking about it, that's cool, but to literally just disown them because of the way they act, come on now. Let's get this together. Let's say you are not liked by somebody else and they don't invite you to an event. Aren't you going to be upset because you weren't invited? Listen, it is time out for people being rude. Okay? Because, listen, there's a point of being rude and then there's a point where you need to start showing love. If you show more hate than love, there's something really wrong with you. Okay? That's all I'm going to say. Because, you see, love makes the world go round. And if you constantly hating on folk because, you know, this person got this or this person got that or this person, listen, it don't really even matter. Why are people even, you know, worried about something that has nothing to do with nothing? You got issues? You got issues. If people don't like it, then you know what? Then turn the other way. Don't be involved. But there's too many people out there who want to just hate. Time out for haters. If you wanna be a hater, that's great. Just continue to be a hater. If you wanna be a hater, that's cool. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Be a hater all day, all week, all hour. But don't sit there and boo-hoo when people are hating on you. Why? Because what goes around comes around. Okay, let me move on to another topic. Ladies, I had to take off my glasses on y'all because I'm getting serious now. Ladies, I'm going to say this once, and I'm going to drop the mic. Okay? The reason why I'm going to drop the mic is because it's either you do or you don't. Listen, in our society, we're so materialistic, it's crazy. Okay? You go to work, you work hard so you can do whatever you need to do, but you spend your little money on that purse, spend your little money on them shoes, spend your little money on them earrings and the clothes and all the makeup and all that stuff. If you do not love yourself when you step out of the house, you will not convince anybody else to think that you look good. If you put all that work in, don't let nobody, let me say this again, don't let nobody tear your bridge down. How many hours do you go in putting yourself together, sorting out clothes, sorting out, getting yourself the way you feel like you're beautiful. And then you have this imperfection about you, right? You have this imperfection about you. And then you let other people dictate that imperfection about you, tear you down. Baby, if you big, you beautiful. If you thin, you beautiful. If you got stretch marks because you lost weight, you beautiful. If you got stretch marks because you got big, I mean, you were small, you got big, you're beautiful. If your feet is messed up, guess what? You can go get a pedicure and fix that. That's all right. If your teeth is jacked up, you can go get something to the dentist and they can fix your teeth. That's fixable. But nobody's asking you to go get booty implants. Nobody's asking you to get tits implants. Nobody asking you to fix your nose. Nobody asking you to remove a mole. Nobody asking you to get a tummy tuck. Nobody asking you to do none of that stuff. Why are you going to alter your body based on what you feel like you don't have? I think we got it all wrong, y'all. I think we do. I really think we got it all wrong. Because we're letting somebody else base our love and affection for ourselves based upon what their words say. If you have weave in your hair, there's nothing wrong with that. If that's what you want to do, if you want to wear a wig, that's fine. Do that. But I tell you the honest truth. If one man is not attracted to you, does not mean that other men are not attracted to what you have. everybody got a specific preference, and you may not have what they want. That's all right. Boo-boo, just let him go by. Let him go. It's not worth it. Well, maybe to you it may be worth it. I don't know. But this is what I'm getting at, y'all. It is really time out for people in this world to use the image of themselves to be something that they're not. I'll give you an example. You've got a mother of four. She works hard all day. She takes care of her kids. One of her kids is in college. She's doing what she can do. Single mom, doing her thing. One night she decides, hey, girl, what you doing? Oh, girl, we're going out to get some drinks. You want to join us? So she says, okay, that's not normally me, but I'm going to do it. So she gets herself all ready, gets herself all what she feels to be beautified. She goes to the bar, start having some drinks. Young gentleman come up to her and throw some game at her. She talks to him, entertains them. Now, is she the same person? Let me ask you a question. I want y'all to answer that question for yourself. Is she the same person that I just described? Some people would say yes, and other people would say no. The reason why people would say yes is because she is that same person, but guess what? Listen. When she put on the mother face, she's a mother. She's not the mother in the club or at the bar. See, if she was the mother wouldn't be drinking in front of her kids. She's not drinking in front of her kids, right? Right. Okay. I'm just checking to make sure. So she's drinking in an adult setting, and she is feeling comfortable within her skin because she feels good about herself. Now, if the person rejects her, does that vote as a constitution of her of a bad parent because she's out having a couple of drinks with her girls? No. She goes home to her children, and she's still the same person. Doesn't matter if she goes out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, whatever. She's taking care of her children. She's doing her thing. Now, some people would say, oh, that's a bad parent. Okay, listen, if the kids are getting what they need, I don't know what they need. Nobody can judge that person based off what she needs. So what I'll say to this is this. Do not throw stones at somebody's glass house unless your house is made of brick. Okay? Let's make that plain, okay? Let's really make that plain. So we're going to move on to another topic. Now, I saw on the heard and saw that there was a bridal party in a limousine, and the limousine caught on fire, and the limousine driver wanted to try to get those people out of there, and some of them died, some of them got out. And it was on the Chicago Bay Bridge. San Francisco Bay Bridge, excuse me. Listen, traumatic thing, man. Traumatic thing. That man's got to live with himself. He caused the fire. We don't know how it started, but that point is irrelevant. The point is not only are those people who were in that fire, in that car, in that limousine, psychologically messed up, but the driver's also psychologically messed up. Okay. So this brings me to this point, you ladies and gentlemen. Listen. It is very vital that we understand that mental health is so important. I mean, for the last couple of topics I've said, it's basically boiled down to mental health, okay? And some of us are unstable. But mental health is so important. Now, I'm going to say this about the government, and then I'm going to talk about that later. So I'm going to kind of give you a preview of what I'm going to talk about in a few minutes. Now, there's a such thing as small government and large government. Where the concept comes from, it comes from a political ideology, from what they consider to be the Republicans want a small government, where the Democrats want a large government. Basically, what that means is that the federal government has a small role to do with the citizens, and the state has majority of the power to make decisions. On the flip side of that is that the federal government has majority of the control, while the states have minority of the power. And right now, as you can see, the shift of diming that the government had right now is in a larger role. Okay? But I'm going to get off of that, but I'm going to come back to it. Okay? In our world today, we have longer days so people can work longer. Businesses stay open 7 days a week. Businesses stay open 24 hours a day. So what that means is there's time away from home, from the children, time away from home, from different things. And then if you do not have a job, they call you worthless. They call you a moocher, and that you all you want is things from the government, so the government will take care of you. Well, when it comes to mental health, I think everybody who's employed should get a degree of mental health coverage, no matter what your job is. The reason why I say this is because when I talked to Dr. Barbosa about the teachers and if they have insurance, was the insurance helping these teachers with their mental health? He says there is not a policy. But ladies and gentlemen, what have we been seeing in the media? And this is my biggest criticism about the media. We watch the media and how they play out everything about shootings, stabbings, bombings, and all these other things, corruptions, in public schools, in public settings, in public churches, in public restaurants, and in public streets. Now, on an average day, someone or many people see traumatic things in their life. So now you've got a lot. Let me back up a little bit. When President Reagan was in office, he closed down a lot of mental health facilities. What they did was they canceled those treatments because the government would not pay for it anymore, and they opened those asylums and let these people go on in the streets. Now, this has happened in the 80s. I don't know if they're still alive or not, but we must understand the society that we live in today is a hell-on-earth society, and you must be able to protect your patriots who give service because the mental state of our beings on this planet today is not healthy. And mental health is the most important thing besides your health. You can talk about regular physical health, but it is to be known that if your mental state of mind is not correct, then your body is the next thing to follow. So mental health is a very important piece to the puzzle, ladies and gentlemen. So I propose that everyone who works should get an ability to do a mental health checkup. Now, I'm not saying everybody crazy. I'm just saying that everybody needs counseling because from my generation and above, we all jacked up. From my generation below, it's all jacked up. And so now we've got all these jacked up people working in these places where we need them, and they're all jacked up. But you want to blame objects that causes you to do something. Well, if you look at what I'm talking about, for example, you remember those? Remember when everybody was like, this postman went postal, and that's the term now. I'm gonna go postal. Listen, people are being. Remember I said about Hayden? People are rude. If your job and your profession, you remember when being a mailman or a mailwoman was a prestigious job. It was looked upon as a pretty much a white collar job at the time, because it was a federal job. Nobody respects the mailman these days. I mean, come on, being a mail person is very hard. Period. Because you know if your check is late, guess who you're going to? You're going to harass the mail person, right? Enough of that. So the point is this, ladies and gentlemen. If you need mental health help, seek it. Now, I'm not saying that you should go take all the medication you can. I hate taking medication, but I'm mentally ill. So I take my medication, but it takes everything within me because I don't want to be medicated. I just want to be fixed and healed. So I'm praying that God will heal me. Okay. So now that I've said that piece, let's move on. I'm sorry. I can't move on because I'm still talking about the. So that gentleman, that limousine driver, and those people that were in there should not be treated any type of way, but letting themselves heal. Okay? It's good to get the story out, boom. But after that, don't bother them. Let them heal. Let the wounds create a scab or something. Put a Band-Aid on it. You see? But if, you know, people want to keep digging it up. Hey, listen, you want to dig up something? Find something that's really important. Okay? Not going to move on. I went to Florida last week, and on my way back, listen, it's really hard for me to fly. First, the airport is a dangerous place for veterans who have PTSD. Hands down. That is not a good place for soldiers to venture in. Let me tell you, it is not because of the people that's moving around. It is because it is chaotic. And when you take a soldier and you put him in a chaotic situation, he naturally goes into survival mode. You say, well, he should be able to decipher between being in combat and not being in combat. Listen, y'all. If you spend time in the military, you're going to get PTSD. Let me give you a scenario. I was in line, and we were late getting to there because of the shuttle, and we're at the TSA at the beginning of these lines. And so the lines are going through, she's checking it off, and we're filtering in and all these people. And so, you know, I'm doing my normal thing. I'm not freaking out. I'm looking around. I'm in line, intertwined. Now, I get to the conveyor belt. And then I go through the security thing. And they asked me to put my hands up, and they do that little. Listen, I do not think that veterans should be. To me, I think it's humiliating. This to me. This is because I'm a veteran. I think it's very humiliating to go through a screening after I've already served that. And most people would say, well, George, don't you want to feel protected? Listen, I'm not afraid of a bomb going off. If a bomb's going to go off, do you think he really going to walk through the medical detector? Listen, he's going to blow the bomb wherever he wants to be. Okay? If they're going to do something, y'all, they're going to do it. There's no way around it. We can put down all the laws, all the mental checklists, all the things that we think will prevent that stuff. But listen, if there's a will, there is a way, period. Okay? So what I'm saying is because I'm a veteran, I not only feel humiliated, but I feel that the tension is, and because I'm black, I'm going to throw a little race in there, okay? You're going to search all my bags and pat me down and do all this stuff and frisk me, and it irritates me because now not only have I been a veteran who have done that to other people, but you flip that around and now I'm being attacked. I feel like I'm being interrogated. I mean, it may seem silly to y'all, but it's not silly to me. Because when a person is forced in a secured area, people, that's serious stuff. Not only do they detain you, but they keep you from getting to your mission. And that is what you have to understand with people with mental illness like PTSD and TBI. Just a small fraction of a thing that stresses, that seems normal, will stress a veteran out. And that extra time that they spend searching me, going through my bags, asking me where I'm going and all that stuff, it freaks me out and irritates me. And at that level, I'm already hypersensitive because I'm already late to get to my plane. And so now my objective, my end mission is to catch the plane. I've got to go through a secure area in order to be quarantined to go to the mission. Understand. But when you are quarantined and you are being bullied based off of certain BOLO lists, or whatever you want to call them, then, listen, it's a total different ballgame, ladies and gentlemen, total different ballgame. So what I'm asking, I think maybe I should make a proposal to my senator, and it probably be struck down, but I think the ideal is this. Listen, there are people in the military who could turn renegade and be terrorists. Okay, let's say that's possible, okay? But what I'm saying is it is very stressful. It's not only stressful for me, but it's also stressful for the children. It's also stressful for the families because not only then is the veteran irritated, then now the family's got to put up the veteran because the veteran's mind is not on traveling. It is about that small, minute thing that he just got frisked, he just got checked, he asked to go through the thing several times, okay? It's those little things, okay? I've served my country honorably. I got honorable discharge and vice versa. I mean, c'est la vie and all that stuff. And all I'm saying is that is a very touchy situation, okay? Because being a vet, I do not want to be put in a position like that. And See, for those who don't understand the pressure of security, and if you are a policeman or you are some type of security, you understand what I'm referring to. Because do you think police officers like being pulled over? I mean, you ask a police officer, do they like being pulled all over when they're not on duty? And then I guarantee you they'll tell you they don't like being pulled over. Why? Because they are policemen. And the first thing they do is probably, flash their badge or something. I don't know. But I'm telling you, it bothers them. Because why? Because their whole job is to protect and serve, just like people in the military. Right. All right. So, we'll go on to this other topic. And the topic is, gun control. I'm going to do a series on gun control, and I got to do the Monsanto finish up and the wrap up on that. I just, of course, like I said, I've been gone and I haven't been well these last couple of weeks, but I'm trying to give y'all what I can, and I ask you for your prayers. I ask you to bear with me, but. The gun control issue it is a very slippery slope. I'll tell you why. You remember how I just talked about big government, small government? Now, you can't let people just put you in a box, okay? If you have views that is a Republican type view, that's okay. Because you have the right to feel and think how you want. You can't be put in a box. If you feel like something about a Democrat, it doesn't matter. You think if you're independent or liberal, doesn't matter. Listen, you have the right to think how you want to think, regardless of what the guidelines are of your party or your ideology. Doesn't matter, okay? Listen, when it comes to small government, small government is very important because, listen, we know if the government is small, the government cannot necessarily control America. If the people support the state and the federal government and continue to use the laws that we have to make this country better, that's a good thing. If the government is large and controls majority of everything, and they do things that are not really what you think they should do, you necessarily don't really have a say-so because of the filter-down situation, okay? And so, look at this scenario, okay? The NRA lobbies for guns. Second Amendment says we have the right to bear arms. Now, there's many people who debate that the Second Amendment does not specifically say it gives us right to bear arms. Listen, it's your interpretation of the law, all right? I mean, just like it's your interpretation of the Bible. But basically, it all boils down to this. You have the right to have a gun. Now, within that, they have all these laws where you have to have a concealed weapon permit and all these other permits and all this other stuff. Got it. Okay? Now, when it comes to gun control, you got small government and then you got the people. You remember in the American Revolution where the people were fighting another nation, actually, for their own freedoms and rights? And they asked the people to bear their arms to protect what was theirs. Because if they didn't take up arms, they would be crushed by the redcoats. Okay, just keep that in mind. Then you've got a government that's majority controlled by the government that has all these this technology that can do all kinds of stuff that you can't even imagine. And then you got this small minority of people who's shouting and screaming and telling everything that, you know, they don't like and all that stuff. And the laws to bear arms is there, but it is being stripped away. So if something was to go on with a larger government onto the smaller people, the people wouldn't have the rights to protect themselves. Now look at the other scenario. The people of the smaller government says to them, hey, look, we understand what we need you guys of America to put up arms to protect what is yours. And I know y'all said, well, that's a kind of far-fetched analogy. But just go on that part. And somebody could say it better than I can. I'll say it like this. Back in 1963 and 4, the Black Panther Party took up the right to bear arms to protect themselves from police brutality in Oakland. They were told to put your rifles away. Their answer was, by the United States Constitution, the Second Amendment, they had the right to bear arms, so they carried arms. They had a shotgun, they had automatics, they had rifles, they had all that stuff, so they bear arms. That gave the police a lump in their throat, and it wasn't really susceptible to that, okay? So they were going to, I forget the actual law and what it's called, and I apologize, but the Black Panthers went in the court building, the municipal court, with their rifles, and one of the Black Panther leaders, or two of them, went in there to say their part, or listen to what happened. And they were asked to leave the building because they had weapons. Now, this is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, you may believe it or not, but you could do your own research. This is the law that was patterned underneath the California law about not bringing weapons into a government facility, and then it was adapted into a federal law, and now it's across the board. You can't bring weapons into a federal facility, okay, or a state facility. Now, at that time, President Reagan was the governor of California. I want you to look at this specifically. When COINTELPRO came out, the director was J. Edgar Hoover, was the director of the FBI, and he specifically targeted the Black Panthers, sent them to jail, and issued out a shoot-to-kill warrant on members of the Black Panther Party. Now, I'm not phrasing it exactly the way the documents say. I'm just putting it in my point of view. But believe me, you go read COINTELPRO, you look it up, you'll get the information. So you've got the government, all right, you've got a small piece of the government that is crushing the people, and the people have the right to bear arms. So the people are bearing arms to protect themselves, but then get stripped away that protection because based on their affiliation of being a extremist group, that puts the fear in the public and say the public has the right to get upset about these blacks having guns to protect themselves. But yet, the government guns down the Black Panthers. So, they at that time had high-powered weapons, and they shot to kill not only the Black Panther members themselves, but also their family members and associates. It was a shootout, okay? So, that's that part. The next part is this. What happens to a nation that does not agree with their leader? And the military leaders turn on the leader. We call that a military coup, right? Right, it's a military coup. What happens when the civilians turn? It's a coup. So the civilians do not feel protected. They don't feel like the government is behind their back. We call it a revolution. But whatever you want to call it, it is what it is. Listen, If they strip away our rights to bear arms, they strip our rights to protect ourselves, regardless if it's a Bushmaster, regardless if it's a 50-round clip, 50-round banana clip magazine or barrel magazine, it doesn't matter. The reason why I tell you that it doesn't matter is because the federal government has tanks, the federal government has airplanes, the federal government has drones, the federal government has grenade ability, the federal government has munitions. Listen, if they want to take out America, they will. Now, my point is this. We talk about protecting the children. We talk about protecting facilities. We've been talking about all these things. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand the debate is not about taking our guns away. But the bill itself will take the right to have whatever munitions or abilities you need to go head-to-head, chest-to-chest, checkers-to-checkers with the federal government. They're going to ban you from buying grenades. They're going to say, why do we need to buy a grenade? Okay, let me ask you a question. Let me back up. And I know this is kind of like off the topic, but I'm going to bring you to this point. About 2 months ago, I was in a town hall meeting for Wichita Falls, Texas. And there was something that came up on the agenda. And there was a rich doctor who lives in Wichita Falls, but he travels from Dallas to Wichita Falls, and he drives at night. Now, the person owns a helicopter, and he wants to, listen to what I'm saying, he wants to land the helicopter at his house, which is in Wichita Falls, and not at the airport, because it's inconvenient to drive from Dallas to his home. It's inconvenient for him to drive from the airport, fly into the airport, and drive home. Now, while these people on the panel were debating this, and other people were standing up and saying that's crazy, our mayor said to one of the board members, she said, listen, I don't even know why we're talking about this, because nobody can afford a helicopter. And he rebuttals and says, it's not the idea that we can't have a helicopter. The idea is should he be allowed to do it? Listen, you are giving an opportunity for one person who can afford a helicopter to fly in the city limits and land in his house in his backyard. He has the opportunity to do it. He has the means to do it. He got it, right? All right, so let's back this up. If you have the money to buy a tank, you should have the opportunity to go buy your ass a tank. If you have the means to buy grenades, you should have the means to buy your grenades. Why? Because it's for your protection. We don't know. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you might think I'm crazy. But I want you to go, and I want you to relook at Hurricane Katrina, and I want you to go and look at the Boston bombing. They locked down those two cities. Not only did they declare martial law in both of those cities, but the way they went about it was crazy. In Hurricane Katrina, I'm not saying that the police didn't have the right to protect themselves. I'm not saying that. But when the order is shoot to kill, okay, the National Guard was called for this, okay? So you're telling me that your brother may have to shoot another brother or cousin because he's in the service. You see, at that point, it is a military-controlled zone. There is no civilian law. You can throw the Constitution right out the window. So when martial law is declared, it is whatever the military might or control at that time. It is their rules, what they say. You do what they say, or you pay the consequence, whatever that consequence is. There were several police officers who went to prison because they were shooting people. Okay? Now, let's move to the Boston bombing. Y'all? Okay? Now, in this Boston bombing, they declared martial law. They had National Guard. They probably had regular military. They had the SWAT. They had, they had FBI agents, CIA. They had probably counterintelligence. They had a lot of people on ground, y'all. They locked this city down and was not allowed. You can go on YouTube and you can look at what the police officers did. They went door to door with guns in their hands, pointing at people, innocent civilians. Listen, see, to me, that is Iraq all over again. See, y'all don't understand war when it comes to America. Everybody wants to say, yeah, we got the bad guys, but you don't understand the psychological effect of what happened. Not about the bombing. Think about what happened when these people were going door to door and they were being banged and they were, if they didn't open, guess what? I bet you they kicked the door down. I guarantee they kicked the door down. So they searched every house, every inch of everybody's house. That is what we call, you are invading my privacy, right? Now, the question is are you going to give up the right to your privacy, or are you going to go and protect yourself? Okay, really, I don't want you to stay in this narrow frame of mind, ladies and gentlemen. There is so much complexity to our world than you even think or know of. Don't take anybody's word for it unless you know it to be true. Always question authority. They'll give you a bunch of BS on TV, but the reality is there's a backstory to every backstory. We talked about shadow government before with Henry Kissinger and the shadow government under Nixon and Ford, those type of things. There's a shadow government under President Bush Sr., shadow government with President Clinton. There's a shadow government with President George Jr. There's a shadow government with President Obama. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not okay. I want to stress this. I've got 4 minutes left. I want to stress this very, very, very. This weighs on my heart all the time. And I'm going to do research, and I'm going to do some in-depth stuff for y'all, okay? It is not okay that we bomb other nations based off intelligence that are incorrect, and we kill innocent men and children. See, we don't have to deal with bombs being dropped in America. We got a shoe bomber. We got a marathon backpack. No, I'm talking about you've got a missile coming down. You've got an artillery shell coming down. You've got a submarine launching a couple of missiles with death detonating all around you and blood and chaos everywhere. Listen. Innocent people die. I want you to keep that in your mind. Why, if we are America and we're democratic and we're Christian and we're all this, we're good, good America, and we need to be policing, why are innocent people dying? I'll let you answer that question. Listen, this is George Beverly. This is Sound Off Forums, and I thank you. Next time I see you, you should be sounding off. Good night.